You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're examining the politics inside the Justice Department and President Trump's interference in the justice system. We'll talk with a former career Justice Department prosecutor in Wisconsin in a moment. But first, it is a check on our WPR Winter Member Drive. I'm here with Sean Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your support is the foundation of funding for WPR programs. In fact, it is the largest piece at what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for these great discussions. And that's why we're encouraging you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we heard from seven new and returning members. Thank you for those gifts. Right now, though, we have a special opportunity. When you make your gift of any amount, current members will donate an additional $100.
Wow. So it is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So increase the impact of your gift. Leverage it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have to tell you this. You are powerful because people who listen, you provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio thriving on the air for you and for our entire community. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a big thank you to everyone who's contributed today. WPR is listener supported. That means your gift keeps Wisconsin Public Radio the strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount. For example, $10 or $20 a month, and support your listening at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You want to go for your next vacation?
I would go to New York City and see some Broadway shows.
I would go to the UP to ski.
Someplace warm. I would take a friend of mine and we'd just go chill out on the beach.
Give any amount and you could win a $500 travel agency gift card for your next adventure. Five winners will be drawn. Sustainers, you are automatically entered. Find out all the details at WPR.org/drawing. Make your gift of any amount now to be automatically entered. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Sean Johnson, and it's your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift right now of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Remember, every gift gets an additional $100 right now added to it. Those few minutes of funding, those few minutes you take right now will fund your daily listening. Your support right now makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's super easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love.
And a reminder, we're looking for 30 people to contribute this hour. When you give, we'll receive an additional $100 for every donation made. It's a great time to give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
David in Delavan says, it's a pleasure to listen and to recommend WPR to my friends. David says, I appreciate all of the hard work that must go into each and every show. David, thank you so much for your support. Join David right now. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're talking about Attorney General William Barr's warnings to President Trump to stop tweeting about DOJ cases and the Roger Stone case, where Barr recommended a more lenient sentence earlier this month, overruling prosecutors' recommendations. Stone is a political advisor to President Trump. He was sentenced yesterday by a federal judge to 40 months in prison. Meanwhile, there's this letter signed by thousands of former DOJ employees calling for Barr to resign. So do you think President Trump's tweets affect how prosecutors and judges do their jobs? Do you think the Justice Department is too politicized, or has it always been politically motivated? Conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Again, our conversation, 800-642-1234. John Vaudry worked for the Justice Department for 38 years prosecuting criminal cases. He was appointed U.S. Attorney for Wisconsin's Western District in 2010 by President Obama. He resigned in 2017. John, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate.
You signed this letter. Why should William Barr resign as Attorney General?
I signed the letter because I believe in the rule of law, and I think we're a nation governed by law, not by men or women. As you said, for 38 years, I was a federal prosecutor, and we made decisions every day, like in the Stone case, that changed people's lives, decisions to charge cases, decisions to go to trial, decisions on what sentence to recommend to the court. But we did it, always keep in mind that the role of the prosecutor in a country governed by law, and the role of the prosecutor is to ensure that people trust the process. And the reason I'm so troubled by these recent actions is that the way prosecutors do that is by making decisions based on facts, without favor to anyone, without fear of anyone, by making decisions based on what a person did, not who they are, not who they know, not how much money they have or much power they have. And when you make decisions the right way, people trust the process. They think it's not fixed or rigged. But I'm concerned, and very concerned, that the decisions of the president, the actions of the president, the actions of the attorney general break that trust. And they lead people to think, well, this is business as usual. This is, you know, this is the way it works. And that's unfortunate.
The letter says the attorney general and President Trump have politicized the Justice Department. What are they doing different from previous administrations?
People really have to understand how extraordinary this is. The president, every president I worked under, has an absolute right to set policy. We're going to emphasize violent crime or human trafficking. But no president, at least that I've ever been aware of, would intervene in any sort of individual case. And what they're doing that's so extraordinary, what the president did that's so extraordinary, is intervene in an individual case and try to put his finger on the scale of justice. And that is, I can't say it too many times. That's extraordinary.
Well, let's go back for a moment. During the Obama administration, a federal prosecutor accused Attorney General Eric Holder of overruling him, dropping charges in a civil case involving the Black Panthers, a political organization dating back to the 60s. What's different about this case with Attorney General Barr and Roger Stone?
The one difference is this. There are certain types of cases, historically, at least over my, let's just say, 40 years, that always require consultation and decision-making from Washington. It might be a terrorism case. One of the last cases I had, Josh Van Haften, a man from Madison who'd gone to fight for ISIL. The ultimate decisions on how that case would be resolved were with my recommendation, but from Washington, from the Attorney General and his deputies. So in the case you're referring to, there are types of cases, not individual cases, but that we all know when we start, these we're going to consult with justice. Terrorism, election fraud, certain types of civil cases. So it's different. It isn't out of the blue basically intervening in a specific case where decisions had actually been made by the line prosecutors and the United States Attorney to make a recommendation.
So Roger Stone sentenced yesterday to 3 years and 4 months in prison, less than half the sentence that prosecutors had originally recommended. How much effect do you think the president's comments had on that sentencing?
I don't know Judge Jackson, but I suspect very little. I don't mean to demean the president, but I think very little. People have to understand the sentencing guidelines, which have been in effect since 1986 in the United States, were mandatory. Now they're advisory. They are the presumptively correct sentence. That's what the Department of Justice is supposed to recommend. But if one looks at the statistics, consistently judges do what judges have done, sometimes right. higher, sometimes lower.
In 2018, you know, federal judges, you know, often sentence outside guidelines. 2018, that happened in 1 in every 4 cases. So why does it matter what prosecutors recommend or what the president tweets when sentence decisions ultimately rest with that judge?
As to the first, what prosecutors recommend, the judge does listen because that prosecutor has lived with the case from investigation through charging, through in this case, through trial, and through the sentencing recommendation made by the pre-sentence writer for the court. So the judge does listen to both sides, the defense as well. I don't know that the judge listens to outside noise, and I would put the president's tweets into that category. But the danger is again what I say. It's about the process. People are always going to disagree with sentences. They're going to think they're too high or they're too low. But if they think the process played out, then I think the system is working. And I think in this case, people may think he should have gotten more, should have gotten less. But the process worked, except for the fact that the president tried to weigh in.
Talking with former U.S. Attorney for Wisconsin's Western District, John Vodery, about the state of the Justice Department, as thousands of former DOJ employees have signed onto a letter calling for the Attorney General William Barr to resign. Your thoughts on this? 800-642-1234. There's more conversation about this. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about President Trump weighing in on matters at the Justice Department and this open letter calling for Attorney General William Barr to resign. But first, let's check in with our winter member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Sean Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our goal in this drive is to make sure that you keep getting your favorite programs like The Morning Show.
And your gift of any amount is so important because your support provides the largest piece of the funding here at WPR. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a really great opportunity right now from current members. They'll donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Amp it up right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, the Ideas Network connects you with experts. How many times can you just pick up the phone and talk to the editor of a magazine, a politician, or the author of a book? Support this opportunity to connect with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And whether you've given before or you're making your first ever donation, sign up for ongoing monthly gifts.
Choose the amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It only takes a few minutes, and once it's set up, your support for the programs you value is always current.
The WPR t-shirt has become an annual tradition. Each one is unique and is only available for a limited time. Don't miss the 2020 t-shirt this drive. What does this year's t-shirt look like?
It's super great. It looks so cozy.
It's a really beautiful forest green.
It's a heathery forest green. Kind of a perfect design.
I think it looks like the prairie in summertime with different shades of green.
Ask for the WPR t-shirt with your gift of $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Sean Johnson this morning, and it's your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 a month or more.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong. So give now, whatever amount feels right for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
That's right. Leverage it. You can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2020 WPR t-shirt. Give $10 a month or more. Once again, there's an additional $100 when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you are a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR, maybe by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Heard from Nicholas and Bloomer said, I can finally stop feeling guilty for listening to informative, intriguing, intellectual, and fair radio for free. Keep up the good work. Nicholas, thank you so much. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're talking about tensions at the Justice Department as the president weighs in on DOJ cases. An open letter signed by thousands of former DOJ employees is asking for just that after the sentencing of Roger Stone, President Trump's longtime advisor. Stone received a 40-month prison sentence yesterday for lying for Congress and witness tampering. What do you think of the job that Attorney General Barr is doing? Do you have a question for a former federal prosecutor about how the Justice Department decides who to prosecute and what sentences to ask for? Conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Again, our conversation on the Justice Department, 800-642-1234. John Beaudry is the former U.S. attorney for Wisconsin's Western District who worked under seven presidential administrations before retiring in 2017, and he stays with us. So, John, presidents can issue pardons, as our neighbors to the south did in Illinois, reminded this week when President Trump commuted the sentence of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Since presidents can pardon people after their sentencing, why shouldn't they have a voice while the case is still unfolding?
They're really two separate, very distinct powers. Clearly, the president has the power to pardon anybody for really any reason, and all presidents do, it seems. But to weigh in while the process is ongoing is significantly different. In the case we talked about with the Black Panthers, as I recall, the difference there is the attorney general is the boss of the prosecutors. We work for the attorney general. And in the Stone case, I know positively that that case was being discussed, I'm sure it was, from the line prosecutors in their office in D.C., and their supervisors, their bosses in the at the Justice Department. And then a recommendation was made. And what's extraordinary here is then the president weighed in on Twitter and not only attacking the recommendation, but then ultimately attacking those individual prosecutors and treating them as if they are his lawyers. And I know Attorney General Barr has spoken at length about that, how the power of the presidency. But I believe that in many of these decisions, the Attorney General and the president see the Department of Justice as the president's lawyers, which they are not.
You worked under Barr when he was the Attorney General mm-hmm. in the early 90s. What do you think of the way he ran justice then?
I would put myself in the category of people who are quite surprised by this recent, the way he's running the Justice Department now. He came to Madison when he was the Attorney General. We met him. The department was run. We saw nothing like this from President Bush or Attorney General Barr. And I think a great majority of my colleagues, when he was selected to be the Attorney General by President Trump, we thought, good. Here's a man who knows how to stand to run the department. I don't. That doesn't seem to have proven to be the case. There's there's hope. I hope that perhaps he will change or obviously leave. I don't think that will happen, but it was different then.
When you were with Justice Department, how were sentencing recommendations typically made? What was the process?
Within the office, if a sentence was to be recommended within the guidelines, the person assigned the case could do that. And that's still the Department of Justice.
Within the U.S. sentencing guidelines.
Yeah, within the sentencing guidelines, which people should understand are basically a two-sided grid. Your criminal history is the horizontal grid. A bunch of points that have been assigned by the Sentencing Commission go down the vertical grid, and then you get an intersection. So if you want to recommend within the sentencing guidelines, as in this case, you had the authority to do that. Anything outside the guidelines, either above or below, had to be reviewed in the office by at least two supervisors and the U.S. attorney. And that's true across, I think, all 94 districts. For bigger cases, national significance, terrorism cases, the one I mentioned, Mr. Van Haften, when we wanted to resolve that case, we had needed the approval of the Assistant Attorney General in charge of the National Security Division. But the process always involved more than one head thinking about the case, but people who knew about the case, they lived the case.
Will President Trump's actions have any long-term effects on the Justice Department?
I think people who work for the Justice Department are concerned. They're concerned that what case will interest the president, where will he weigh in? I think more importantly, people are concerned that it will have this long-term effect. When you stand up in court and you speak for the Department of Justice, when you say, I'm John Vaudrey, I represent the United States and here's our position, will the public think, well, is that really your position? Has somebody weighed in? Is this a political decision? And none of those decisions will be political. They will be fair. People are very fair. But the public won't trust that process. And I think that's the long-term damage. People will start to think we're a government where the president gets to say who gets prosecuted, who gets sentenced, and how he wants that handled. And that's not a government of law.
John, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
John Vaudrey worked for the U.S. Justice Department for 38 years. He recently signed a letter with thousands of former department employees calling for Attorney General William Barr's resignation over the Roger Stone case. Coming up, we look at improving access to mental health services in Wisconsin with a new admissions unit that opened at Winnebago Mental Health Institute in Oshkosh. That's after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.